Meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce to order. It is unfortunately 2:20, and apologize to all here that we were on the floor until 2 o'clock, so there was an... Oh, timeout. We'll be at easing for a moment. Apologize, we're all guilty of delay of game, and you may penalize us whenever it's appropriate. It is April, no, it's not April, is it? It's May 1st. Jay, he said it was April 30th. Do not go backwards in this process. And we have Senator Seekins, Senator Stevens, myself, Bundy, Senator Taylor. Just a brief introduction. We're back on the record, today we're going to hear HB 214, HB 184, SB 13, and then two new bills, SB 186 and 178, in that order. We have heard previously HB 214. I'd like to begin there. And representative of the sponsor, do you have any other comments to make?
No. For the record, I'm Sarah Nielsen. I'm staff to Representative Samuels, and he is on the floor in debate.
Okay. We will close public testimony. Further discussion from the committee? Hearing none, the wish of the committee? Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move CS for House Bill Number 214, Judiciary, version / India, from committee with attached fiscal note.
Okay.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Seekins?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
Yes. So we have moved HB 214. Would like to step out of order just for a moment to accommodate Senator Taylor. Did you have a question? Yeah, you're done. You're excused. Accommodate Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Chair's understanding he would like to introduce these bills, but won't ask us to address them at this time.
Yeah, so. Just very briefly on the two Senate bills that you have before you, both of which I sponsored. Each of those were sponsored for the purpose of generating revenue for the state of Alaska, as opposed to generating revenue only through taxation and fee increases. I have always been an opponent of taxation and fee increases and felt that at least this was another option. Both lottery, which is one bill, and video gaming, which is the other bill, would provide somewheres in the neighborhood, I think conservatively, of $60 to $70 million worth of additional revenue that we would not have to go out and do in the form of taxes. But I've been informed by my leadership that I've discussed this matter with just today that they don't wish those items, or they've indicated to me that those items will not pass, and it just seems a waste of our time to discuss something and work on it and try to fabricate a better bill and so on that's not going to be given the opportunity to pass anyhow, since the majority seems dead set on taxes and additional fee increases as their revenue sources. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. I thank you very much personally for taking the time to schedule these matters. And I know that we share some commonality in reaching for additional revenue sources, but I don't believe that's going to happen. And just as a practical matter, it seems to me that your committee has much more important work ahead of it than to waste its time on a couple revenue matters that will not really be given serious consideration by the majority. So with that in mind, if you wouldn't mind holding the bills, I'd appreciate it. And it allows me to excuse several witnesses that came over from Department of Revenue and other places that really should get back to figuring out how they can tax more people.
Well, thank you, Senator Taylor. I know I've had a lot of correspondence about a lottery, and I will look forward to further information.
They're
about
very
that.
Complex subjects. They really are, and controversial.
Well, that's...
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Going back up our agenda, HB 184, individual deferred annuities. Representative Coghill's representative here. Do you have further comments to make on this bill?
Mainly that there is one amendment that we would like put through the committee today.
While that amendment's being distributed, I want to acknowledge the presence of Senator French. And if you would introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Willa C., staff to Representative Coghill.
And for old ears, have to be really loud.
Willa C., staff to Representative Coghill.
All right. And for discussion purposes, I would entertain a motion to adopt amendment number one.
So moved.
Senator Seekins, and I'll object for discussion. If you would speak to the amendment, please.
The amendment was added on the House floor by a representative, and the Division of Insurance looked at it and would feel more comfortable if it was removed. It just kind of adds a little bit of confusion. And that representative that added it is fine with it being taken out, and we would just like to possibly have that done. If you have any further questions, Katie Campbell from the Division of Insurance can address it further.
All right, thank you. Questions for the witness? Let's ask the representative of the Division of Insurance that would like to speak to this. Step forward, if you would, please. Thank you, Will. For the record.
My name is Katie Campbell. I'm the Life and Health Actuary with the Division of Insurance.
And to this amendment, could you give us a reasoning for the amendment or background?
Sure. The amendment that was originally proposed on the floor was intended to make sure, if you look in the original draft of the bill under the effective date, they added B and C, and the intent was that it only apply to contracts that are issued after the effective date of the act, so that if somebody has an annuity contract today, this isn't going to change the contract that they have with the insurance company. They bought it before the effective date of this act, and when the representative proposed this, I think he was intending to say, well, if the contract allows it to comply with whatever law is applicable at the time, then you could still, you know, that it could affect an existing contract. And that wasn't the intent of the national language or, you know, what was really intended there. So this is really just a clarification that it isn't going to apply to a contract that's already been issued.
Questions for the witness?
Please, then.
Yes, Senator Cowdery, Senator Davis is still excused due to medical problems. So, I see no further questions. Thank you. Any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, we have adopted amendment number one. Are there further, Mr. George, you wanted to testify on HB 184?
I certainly can, but unless you feel a compelling need to, I think...
Mr. George, thank you. I don't feel a compelling need for more dialogue at this point in the day. anyone else that would like to testify on 184? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony. Committee discussion. Senator Seekins.
Chairman, I'd move CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 184, Labor and Commerce, as amended by us, / India.alpha from committee with attached fiscal note.
Payne.
Senator French?
Yes.
Senator Seekins?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
So we indeed have moved HB 184. That brings us to SB 13. Of course, we haven't heard anything about this bill before. And I had asked that the department stop by. We've heard from the sponsor, and welcome the bill sponsor here to the table. We've heard from the insurance industry. Now I'd like to hear from the administration of our Division of Insurance. And Ms. Hall, if you'd join us, please.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for the time to speak. My name is Linda Hall. I am the director of the Division of Insurance. And thank you, committee members, for allowing me to testify. First, I would like to make some comments, as requested by the chair, on the state of the insurance marketplace in Alaska. If you had an opportunity to review the Division of Insurance report on credit scoring, there are listings in the back of that report of insurance companies doing business in Alaska. These are rather lengthy lists of insurance companies, and it appears to suggest that there are large numbers of insurance companies writing business here. In fact, the number of companies with active writings in the state is really quite small. In the most recent annual report of the division, the top two writers of private passenger insurance, between the two of them, write 42% of our market. There are then seven companies that have less than a 2% market share. So we have really not a lot of companies actively writing business here. In the homeowners market, the top two companies write approximately 65% of our insurance market. We then drop to percentages of 6% with eight companies writing less than 1% of that market. So in general, we don't have very many private passenger or homeowners companies actively writing business, and in my opinion, this creates a fairly fragile marketplace. Excuse me.
Ed, interrupt just to ask then that your term fragile marketplace and that there are a limited number of companies writing, do you have the knowledge, background information, can you comment about our loss profit ratio in Alaska? I mean, is it a reasonable place to do
it? The next part of my testimony will address rates and losses. That's quite all right.
You're clairvoyant.
Good. Rates for personal insurance have been increasing nationally, and we're seeing similar trends in Alaska. In 2001, the rates that we saw in the private passenger homeowners markets ranged in the 5 to 8% increases. In 2002, many of those increases were in double digits. Last week...
That's nationally or in Alaska?
That's in Alaska. Those numbers are in Alaska. Last week, I received from a national organization of other insurance regulators information that indicated in March of 2003, the Consumer Price Index had an 8.9% increase in auto insurance rates nationally. So we're seeing fairly dramatic increases in particularly auto insurance. And that does then relate, Mr. Bundy, to losses and to loss trends. In 2001, private passenger lines in Alaska was in the top five companies in the number of losses, total dollar amount of losses in the country. We were in the top five states with losses. That also was an overall underwriting deficit of 18%. So the companies writing business here on the underwriting basis had an 18% deficit, overall negative return on net worth of 6%. So auto insurance companies in Alaska are losing money and at a greater rate than most other states in the country. The 2001 homeowners market fared better. Alaska was in approximately the middle of the range with an 8% underwriting profit. So there was some profitability in those lines. Some of the loss trends that have hit other areas of the country really haven't hit here. For example, and I'm sure you've all read, there have been mold claims. Mold is an increasing cause of loss to the insurance industry. That really hasn't hit Alaska.
Mold.
Mold in houses, resulting from water damage or construction defects that result in mold and can be toxic. We also, as we look at those issues, see specific unique Alaska characteristics. Sometimes the costs of loss adjustment is higher here because of travel. We tend to have higher costs of auto repair. We tend to have higher medical costs. I heard one of the life insurance or health insurance people estimate for me that our medical costs in Alaska are approximately 30% higher than they are in Washington. And so there are higher costs of insurance here due to those types of factors. And I bring some of that up because I would like to make sure that we keep the Alaska market in mind as we discuss this issue. I have...
Interrupt again.
Thinking
of earlier conversations, is there any correlation between the number of attorneys per capita and the losses?
I don't have an answer to that.
Moving along. Present company accepted.
You didn't ask me to address that. I would like to talk then specifically about SB 13, the issues, not the bill itself as much as the issues. I know this committee has heard extensive testimony from various sources on this bill. In starting that, I would like to reiterate the mission of the Division of Insurance, which is threefold. Our mission is to develop, interpret, and enforce insurance statutes and regulations, to protect and educate the consumer, and to enhance the insurance business market. Keeping those sometimes diverse goals in mind, I would like to offer my observations on the credit scoring issue. One, there appears to be some significant correlation between credit history and losses. I think this appears to be a valid predictor of losses. It's a tool that I don't feel should be totally banned. However, I strongly feel that any use of credit scoring in insurance should be accompanied by appropriate consumer protections. There are a variety of specific measures to be considered as policy decisions. These would include things like prohibitions on the use of discriminatory factors, income, age, zip codes, ethnic groups, marital status, those types of prohibitions. Prohibitions against consideration of the absence of credit. Prohibitions against using collection accounts with medical industry codes. Other restrictions as are deemed appropriate by the legislature. Foremost on my mind on this issue is the requirement that credit scoring models for underwriting and rating be filed with the Division of Insurance for approval.
And let me interrupt again, if I might. How would we achieve that?
Insurance companies today make filings to the Division of Insurance. They make rate filings. There are processes and statutes to make those filings.
And I guess my more specific question was, would it require legislative action to achieve that proprietary information that you recommend?
I think it needs to be included in here, the requirement to file those with the division. Currently, rates are filed. Underwriting factors are not filed, and I think when we're talking about credit scoring, both underwriting and rating models need to be filed. And I would also encourage those to be protected as confidential information. Title 21 has confidentiality language, and I would encourage those to be kept as confidential.
Thank you.
Both the proprietary formulas and the third-party vendor formulas.
I would commend that potential amendment to the bill sponsor.
This filing requirement, I think, would provide the ability for the Division of Insurance to review the models and to prevent some of the secret score black box allegations. I believe that someone needs to look at those models to understand what's there. The Division of Insurance, as the regulatory authority over the industry, would be obviously the logical person to do that. I also think that it is a good idea to have a dispute resolution process. We've heard testimony talking about how long it takes to correct inaccurate credit reports with some of the agencies. That's a federal regulated body. I would recommend that we look at some type of dispute resolution policy that would allow the consumer to deal directly with the insurance company, and that the insurance companies then respond to inaccurate information. I think they would do it in a more timely manner than some of the credit reporting bureaus. And my final recommendation is that I would advocate the Washington language that requires consideration of substantive underwriting factors in addition to credit. Some of the bills that I've seen talk about prohibit the sole use of credit. I think we need to use some language that does ensure that substantive factors are considered in that process. I guess to close my testimony, and I certainly am willing to answer questions, my recommendation on the issue is to find an attempt to reach a middle ground with some legislation that provides protection for the Alaskan consumers and allows insurance companies to use credit as one of the many tools in evaluating risk.
Thank you for your testimony. I believe one of the companies that testified here indicated that they, if there's a change in rate or if credit scoring affects a rate, they notify the consumer. I don't know if that's widespread or if all companies do that. My question is, do you think that is something that should be addressed in this legislation at all, also requiring that notification that credit scoring is one of the reasons for a rate set, and then they could avail themselves to the appeals process you mentioned?
I think legislation that addresses notification of adverse action is a very valid criteria.
Questions for Ms. Hall?
Senator Cowdery. Do you have access in your division to the proprietary information, you know, that you talked about that should be? But do you have that access to that to determine, to see various companies, how they use and determine their credit scores?
Today?
Really inside the black box?
Not today, no.
Should you?
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, would you, Ms. Hall, talk a little bit more about the dispute resolution process and how we can see that that's included? And we'll just understand a little bit better how that works. And you were saying it goes directly to the company. It doesn't go through you or?
Through the chair. I don't have a specific proposal, Senator Stevens. I have seen language, I've seen proposals that would, and we currently have in Alaska statute a rating mechanism that does allow an insured who feels rates have been inappropriately or improperly applied to appeal to the insurance company. I think we could expand that to allow them, a consumer, to appeal to the insurance company that they're using incorrect information from credit. I do believe some of the earlier testimony from one of the companies indicate they are starting to do a pilot project doing that. And I think that consumers have a right to question inaccurate credit information and to try to receive early resolution of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that sounds like a good way to resolve a lot of problems. Yeah. Thank you.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned the profit and loss picture for the last year. Would you be able to give me an idea of what it's been for the last 5 years?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that question right now. I'd be happy to get you that information.
Yeah, just curious. I know there's been a lot of volatility in the markets all across the country in the last year. I'm just wondering how that shakes out over a period of 5 years. It would give me a better idea to give some kind of projection as to what maybe we would be looking for over the next few years rather than just the last 12-month cycle.
We would be happy to prepare that for you.
Do you know which, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, if I could, do you know which companies presently use credit scoring in the state of Alaska? Do you have any idea?
Yes, but the list of who uses it for underwriting is fairly lengthy.
Okay.
I'd be happy to provide you with
the
copies
major,
of this.
Major
credit information used for underwriting major companies: Allstate Insurance, AIG, GEICO, Safeco. Used for rating, I was going to say InsureQuest, but they don't write here any longer. USAA, General Casualty, Leader, Progressive.
And who are the major insurers? You said there are two that cover about 45%?
Allstate and State Farm.
Allstate uses it, State Farm doesn't?
I believe, let me back up, both of them use it for underwriting. Allstate and State Farm both are using it for underwriting.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Hall, thanks for being here today. How many different variables does an insurance company take into account when it sets someone's insurance rates?
Through the chair, Senator French, that may vary by companies as they file their rating models. I probably would defer to Sarah McNair Grove is actually our property and casualty actuary who reviews those filings and I would actually prefer that she answer that, if that's all right.
And I guess the thrust of my question, and she can answer it when she gets her chance. My question is, I keep hearing that credit scoring is an important tool, and I guess I'm starting to wonder, you know, how many tools are there? Is there just this one tool, or are there 20 or 30 or 40 variables that make up a person's insurance rates?
My name is Sarah McNair Grove, and I'm the property casualty actuary with the Division of Insurance through the chair, Senator Grinch. It would depend on the company, but the kind of variables that are used, say, for example, a private passenger auto would be the age of the driver, the make of the vehicle, their driving record, whether they're male or female. Those are some very typical ones that are used. And in addition to that, some companies add credit.
So, I mean, what I'm getting from you is that there may be as few as 5 variables.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Some companies get a little more in depth than that.
It does vary, but those are the common ones, and I can't give you specifically without looking at a specific rating plan.
Can you tell me when credit scoring became a common practice in the industry?
Through the chair, Senator French, in Alaska, it was approximately, I believe it was 1997 or 98 when we approved the first filing. In 1999 and 2000, there were several more filings that were approved, so it was that time frame.
And before 97, 98, rates were going up, isn't that right?
I honestly don't remember. I'd be happy to get that information for you if you would like it.
Because my question kind of is somewhat along the lines of Senator Seekins, and I guess I'd be more interested in looking back maybe 10 years on these profit and loss statements, mainly because most of us know that, you know, 3 years ago we entered into a major bear market, which we may just now be starting to come out of, and everybody's had a hard time making money over the last 3 years, insurance companies, banks, other financial institutions. And so I'm wanting to make sure that we're not hiding a cyclical loss behind, one tool.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, one of the other reasons that we would very much like to have rating and underwriting models filed are so that we have a full range of review of those types of factors that are used in rates to make sure that what's being filed really is appropriate, and profitability certainly would be one of those review items.
Ms. Hall, you're fairly new in this job.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations, getting a new job. Before you took this job, what did you do?
I've been in the insurance industry for 17 years in Alaska. I was an insurance agent, so I worked with consumers. I have been very active in the industry. I represented Alaska on a national board of insurance agents, so I have really a fairly broad perspective of what's occurring nationally because of my involvement at that level. So I have been very active in the industry, obviously not in a regulatory position.
Other questions? If not, my thanks to both of you.
Getting back, you said you didn't have access to these, how they determine the rates, but you would like to have. What could we do so that you would have access? What could the legislature do?
Senator Cowdery, I have an idea.
Okay.
Having talked with Senator Cowdery and know his interest in making this a better bill, or as best bill it can be, I would, and some assurance that he's interested in continuing to work on this, assurance from Ms. Hall that she's interested in working on it. What I'd like to do is, knowing the shortness of the session and that we have the judiciary chair sitting here and it's going to judiciary, to with the assurance that both parties or entities can work together here and strengthen this bill, there's certainly things that I'd like to see strengthened and added to the bill. While I don't have any brief to carry for insurance companies, they are a necessary factor of our society, at least in automobile and in home. and I want to make sure they stay reasonably profitable in the state, and I don't want them to disadvantage consumers, but want the consumers not to be disadvantaged either. So what the chair would like to do is move this bill on to judiciary with the assumption that, you folks will get together and address how the legislature can give you more tools to make this process more consumer-friendly, but yet not drive insurance companies out of Alaska. And I'm confident that you folks can do that and will. At this point, I personally am not able to support the bill as presently written for a complete block on credit scoring. But I think it's very easy with some tweaks from that we've heard about to really make this a very strong bill that is likely to be supported by all of us. I keep looking at the clock knowing we started late and the calendar keeps running in spite of my staff saying it's only the 30th. So with that in mind, if we don't have more questions for the witness, I would entertain a motion to move this bill on to judiciary with our strong...
What about public testimony from Anchorage?
This meeting was, or this bill was not open for public testimony today. I would like to move it on to judiciary, and with the knowledge that it has to become a better bill before it has my personal support, and I think before it's possible to get out of the legislative process. So, Senator Seekins?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as Vice Chairman of this committee, Chairman of the next committee that will hear this bill, Senator French also sitting on that committee, I would move this bill. SB 13, and I forget which version we're looking at here.
I think it's the original version. We didn't amend the bill, so it's just SB 13.
It is the original.
Backslash which?
Dios.
Backslash Delta. I'd move this bill, SB 13 / Delta, with attached fiscal notes, onto the next committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Yeah. And I think that some of these issues you're talking about are well designed to be in a judiciary committee.
I do have questions, and I'm sure that Senator French and we can work with the bill sponsor and other people that I believe you're correct. It will be both of our calendars if we can put it on. Onto the Judiciary Committee at this particular time.
Jane.
Senator French.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Senator Seekins.
Yes.
Senator Bundy.
Yes. So, SB 13 is moving on to Judiciary for your careful administrations.
Let's see, next week.
Yeah. If I might share with the committee, our next meeting is May 6th. We will look for a subcommittee report on SB 102, the charitable gaming revenues, that will be a committee report and then an opportunity for committee action if we choose to. There won't be any public testimony on that issue. We have a wage and hour bill that will be coming toward us. Nurse educate loan repayment bill. I don't know where that cockamamie. Oh, Senator French, that's your bill.
Yes.
And
to be nice here. What am I doing?
Well, chopped liver, huh? And labeling of prescription drugs. We'll look forward to your bill, Senator French.
If I could remind those people who might have an interest who left a little soon, I understand that we are now under the 24-hour rule, and Judiciary Committee has reserved a room. 9:00 Saturday morning, and we may be hearing this. I don't know yet.
So, if nothing more to come before the committee, we'll stand adjourned ahead of time.